All right, good morning, and Merry Christmas to one and all. I was looking for a particular couple. Anybody like to get gifts at Christmas time? Yeah, a few hands went up. Well, I have a gift for somebody that's not here. So I'm not going to open it, but I thought it was fitting. Do you know how you re-gift gifts occasionally? Well, I got this the other night at a get-together at my sister's house. And I thought, I know somebody who needs this more than I do. So if you can tell what it is, it's a mug, and it's going to go to Jan Bell. And there's a reason for that. Was anybody here last week? Raise your hand if you were. Okay, quite a few. Great. So you get it then. I'm let her open it. So don't tell her what I'm telling you right now, because she's going to open it when she comes next time. But it says, make lutefisk great again. So those that were here will get that. So as we begin the service and have our worship opening, I just want to tell a story that took place earlier in the Christmas season here. My granddaughter Emma, who had just gotten married this year to her new husband Tanner, her and her husband were looking for their first Christmas tree. And as a young couple with not much money, they decided that they would do what most young couples might do, and they went on Facebook Marketplace looking for a used Christmas tree that they could have as their own, an artificial tree. So she finally found one that they could afford. It was like $75, which I thought was pretty pricey for a tree. But anyway, I guess down in Grand Rapids, that's the going price for used Christmas trees. And so she sent her husband down to pick up the tree from this woman who was selling it. And when they got it back to the house, they were excited to put it up and start decorating it. And it's one of those trees with all the branches that go in. You have to put every individual branch. Well, they got it about 3/4 of the way up, and the rest of the top was all missing. Nothing there. No branch, just a stick, but nothing. No branches to put in it. And she was so disappointed, and so she called the woman up, and she said, "Hey, I just want to let you know that all of the tree wasn't there." The woman said, "I know," she says. "I bought that a few years ago, and I got scammed when I bought it. There was no top to it. So I'm just passing the scam on to you. Tough luck." That was her response. So what do you think about that woman? Well, never mind. I'll ask you that later. I'm going to tell you what I think about my granddaughter. Her response was, after a broken heart, her response was, "Okay, we didn't have money for a Christmas tree to get a brand new one at the store. Let's go to the store and buy this woman one of the nicest trees that we can find." So her and her husband and her dad went out to the stores, and they found this beautiful tree. And I think it was like $300 or something like that. And they bought this tree, and they brought it over to her and set it on her porch with a note. And the note said, "We understand life isn't always fair," or something like that, "but we just want to bless you at this Christmas time. We're Christians, and we want to pass on the gift of the season. Merry Christmas. By the way, we attend Impact Church. If you ever want to join us, you'd be more than welcome." Well, my heart was just throbbing with like pride over my granddaughter's response. And so I thought, wow, that is quite a story. But the story doesn't end there. What happened next was she got a text from the woman who basically swore up and down at Emma a blue streak, telling her how terrible she was to do this terrible thing to her, make her feel so bad. And just ran her up and down the flagpole with swearing and just hating on her. And of course, at that point, my grandpa, there's not just mama bears, there's grandpa bears too. And so my response was, I wanted to take her and put her in a headlock. And that's a term that I use sometimes when somebody's doing an injustice to somebody. And my kids, as they were growing up, when they come home and tell us about something that happened that was bad to them by somebody else, and I would always say, well, I'll come and I'll put them in a headlock. You know, just letting them know that I had their back. But that was my first response. But then I decided, you know what? She's no different than us. I want you to think about that for a minute. She was behaving badly, sinfully, and she was gifted a great gift of love, and she just blew it off, just threw it back into the gifter's face and said, not interested. And isn't that what we have done with the gift that God has given us in his son Jesus? And I thought about that, and I thought, we're just like the woman. But God's response to us isn't to put us in a headlock. His response to us was to write Romans 5:8 that says, but God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's the godly response. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, if you are here, and if you've never given the gift that God has given to us any serious consideration, would you do so this morning? I hope you are heated a little bit as you heard the story of the woman. You thought, how dare her? And I'm just going to pass on God's message to you this morning. How dare you refuse the gift that I so lovingly want to give you? And so those of us that have received that gift, that have said, I don't want to be like that woman anymore. I want to repent of my sins. I want to move on. I want to experience his mercy and grace and his great love. That's what brings us here, isn't it? And so we're here this morning to just simply worship him who gave so much on our behalf. It started with the little baby, but it didn't end there. The little baby grew up. He died for our sins. And he says, I want to take you home with me. I want to live with you forever. And that's the God that we worship. So let's worship him well this morning.
Thank you, Mike. That was just an awesome example of how we should be. This morning, I have a special that I would like to do for a very special friend of all of ours. Miss Eunice Van Elsacker, requested this song to be sung sometime during the Christmas holidays, and I looked and looked and looked for the music, and I couldn't find it, and so I was so trying so hard to get it to work out, but I wish she was here to sing it with me, because she sang a little bit of it for me, and she must have had such a gorgeous voice, but she said that she just couldn't do that, so I'm going to try to play this on the piano. I figured out some chords for it, and I hope you are blessed by it. And Eunice, this is for you. All of this happens because the world is waiting. Waiting for one child. Black, white, yellow, no one knows. But a child that will grow up and turn tears to laughter, hate to love, war to peace, and everyone to everyone's neighbor. And misery and suffering will be words to be forgotten forever. This is called When a Child is Born.
A ray of hope flickers in the sky. A tiny star lights up way up high. All across the land, dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when a child is born. A silent wish sails the seven seas. The winds of change whisper in the trees. And the walls of doubt crumble, tossed and torn. This comes to pass when a child is born. A rosy hue settles all around. You've got to feel you're on solid ground. For a spell or two, no one seems forlorn. this comes to pass when a child is born. It's all a dream, an illusion now. It must come true sometime soon, somehow. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when a child is born. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when a child is born.
Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. I was given a little book the other day when I didn't know what to do for this morning, and sometimes we can learn a lot by just reading a book that was written for a little child. This book is called A Special Place for Santa, and it's by Jeannie Piper. If you've lived in America for very long, and we all grew up here, we all know about Santa. We know who he is. We know what he does for kids and all of that. But where did he come from? Do we really know? I didn't. I raised three boys, gave them Santa stuff all the time they were little, and I didn't know where Santa came from. I guess I didn't feel like I needed to know. But I think we do need to know. And I think we need to know how he fits in to the most important event in history, the one that Christians worldwide celebrate, the birth of our Lord and Savior. Apparently, Santa came to being or originated in Turkey about 300 years after the birth of Christ. Now, that's a long time ago. I guess I just never thought about it. His original first name was Saint Nicholas. I've heard that, didn't know where it came from. Apparently he was a Turkish monk, and he helped little children. That was his job. He felt sorry for them. If they had a need, whatever, then he would do what he could to help the little kids. So he was always taking care of them and meeting their needs. So it says he's also known in Germany as Kris Kringle. I think we've all heard that name too. But Saint Nicholas became known as the patron saint of children because he was always taking care of them. The Dutch know him as Sinterklaas. And they're probably mainly responsible for bringing him and his traditions to New York in the early 1800s. So after reading this little book and some of the things that I know from my past and my childhood, I believe that Santa started out as a good thing to teach children how to think of others, how to help others, how to be thoughtful, how to make other people happy, to think about someone besides yourself all the time, and how to show love. And isn't that why Jesus came, too? That's okay. But I personally believe that many things that were meant for good, Satan's been able to use for bad. I think he's been able to take all this business with Santa and turn it upside down and inside out and use it to confuse and distract people and cause division. So this statue, how did you feel the first time you ever saw this statue? Some people like it, some people don't. The first time I saw this statue, I was going to the church in Saginaw that we came from, and my Pastor Reyes had some very strong feelings about this this statue. And whenever he disagreed with something or he didn't like something, he would say, well, Mary Tobel, that's just sick. That was, you know. But I thought about that, and I thought about that. And I didn't disagree with Pastor Reyes on very much. But I know that the first time I saw this statue, it made me cry. Because I thought, they finally put Santa where he belongs, at the foot of Jesus, where we all belong. So this little book was written for a child, but it made a difference with me the other day. And short of reading the whole book, I'd like to tell you how it goes. It starts out with two mothers shopping for Christmas presents for their little ones. And they begin the conversation about how Santa is taking over Christmas. That he is the reason that many people forget the true meaning of Christmas. After all, it is Jesus' birthday, most importantly. Now, how many of us have had this conversation with someone else that we know? A family member, a friend, you know, whatever. We've all been there. We've all had this thought. So Santa, he hears this conversation while he is making out the list of who's been naughty and who's been nice. And he starts to wonder, could they be right? Could it really be his fault? So it's Christmas Eve, and he's on his run to deliver all the presents to the little children. Every year, he stops at a church that has a live nativity scene because he always wants to be the very first person to wish Jesus a happy birthday. But this year, he was alone. He was very slow and heavy-hearted. He opened the door of the church and crept in and sat in the very back pew. He just couldn't make himself go forward to the crib where the baby Jesus lay. He hid his present under the pew, and a tear rolled down his eye, his cheek. What was wrong with him? Giving gifts was always such a joy before. Then he heard a voice. Someone was calling his name. He looked around, but no one was there. Cheer up. It's certainly not your fault that some people forget the true meaning of Christmas. The voice continued. Ever since you were born, far off in Turkey, only 300 years after my son Jesus was born, you have done far more to spread the true meaning of Christmas than a lot of other people. Santa couldn't believe his ears. God was actually talking to him. And his voice was warm and loving, not angry at all. Don't ever forget your long and distinguished career. You have been recognized for your many acts of charity for hundreds of years. So Santa smiled because he remembered when he first discovered how great it felt to help those in need and why he began giving gifts. How many of you like to give gifts? I love giving gifts. It just makes me feel good. It makes me happy to make people know how special they are to me. God continues in saying, Jesus and I want to thank you for helping to spread the news about Christmas in every corner of the world. Every year, you help millions of people, young and old, show how much they love each other. Well, thank you, God, Santa whispered. He realized that he did have a very special job after all. So he jumped up. He knew he would have to hurry if he wanted to be the very first person to wish Jesus a happy birthday. He almost ran up the aisle, took off his hat, and knelt before the baby Jesus, and he reverently placed his present next to the manger. So are you like me? What in the world could Santa give Jesus as a gift of love? It was the same present he had given Jesus every year, but now he knew for sure it was the one present that Jesus wanted most of all. Inside the box were Santa's lists of the kind and loving things that people, young and old, had done for one another all year long. So Santa says, happy birthday, and please thank your father for making a special place for me in his plan. So when I read this book, I thought, now the real question is, do we do as much to promote God's love as Santa does? We have our special job assigned to us by God. Do we do our part? Christmas is not Santa in a red suit. It's not Christmas under our tree. Christmas is in our hearts, because that's where Jesus lives in everyone who claims to be a believer. So let's do all of our part to see that those around us have a very merry Christmas. And just because this is the day after Christmas now, and we can say that Christmas is almost over for this year, our job is to see that those around us have a very merry Christmas all year long.
Well, good morning, everyone. I came across this song, and it's called The Real 12 Days of Christmas. So it's our Christian version. I don't know if anybody else has heard it. I've been looking it up and singing it, different versions of it and stuff for a while, so I'm hoping I don't crack up here or whatever, lose my voice. I do have a little bronchitis problem right now, so. You know, having a hard time, Deb said she'd help me. So, Merry Christmas to y'all, and we can sing the song whenever it comes up.
On the first day of Christmas, my Jesus gave to me salvation full and free. Second day of Christmas, my Jesus gave to me everlasting life and salvation, full and free. On the third day of Christmas, my Jesus gave to me peace in my heart, everlasting life and salvation, full and free. On the fourth day of Christmas, my Jesus gave to me love for all men.
Everlasting life and salvation. sing. Streets of pure gold, mansions above, a robe and a crown, a body glorified, power from on high, joy for my soul. Love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free. The 12th day of Christmas, my Jesus gave to me, eternity that's free, a thousand songs to sing. Streets of pure gold, mansions above, a robe and a crown, a body glorified, power from on high, joy for my soul. Love for all men, peace in my heart, everlasting life, and salvation full and free.
God bless you, everyone. Thank you.
A reading from the pen of Saint Augustine, who was a philosopher way back. Awake, mankind! For your sake, God has become man. Awake, you who sleep! Rise up from the dead. Christ will enlighten you. I tell you again, for your sake, God became man. You would have suffered eternal death had he not been born in time. Never would you have been freed from sinful flesh had he not taken on himself the likeness of sinful flesh. You would have suffered everlasting unhappiness had it not been for his mercy. You would have never returned to life had he not shared your death. You would have been lost had he not hastened to your aid. You would have perished had he not come. Let us then joyfully celebrate the coming of our salvation and redemption. Let us celebrate the festive day on which he, who is the great and eternal day, came from the great and endless day of eternity into our own short day of time.
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, the perfect and spotless one. Sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours.
Well, on Christmas Eve, we looked at something very important, and we saw how Jesus was related to eternity and time. So we were looking in John chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning. And remember that I said that using that phrase with our tendency towards word association would cause those who were listening to him to think immediately of the passage that they knew well in Genesis, which begins the same way, in the beginning. And so he was causing them to think back. When he said, John said, in the beginning was the Word, he wanted them to go back to the beginning that was originally spoken of in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. And what he was saying was, this Word, who in verse 14 of John chapter 1 will become flesh and dwell among us, was there. So when God said, let there be light, he was speaking that word through Jesus. When he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, he was speaking that word through Jesus, the Word, who, because it says in the scripture that by him were all things made, and there was nothing made that was made without him. Jesus is eternal. He is God. But we also said that he stepped into time, that he was related to time. And that's what verse 14 really says to us. And the Word, John chapter 1, verse 14, became flesh. Notice very carefully in the scripture, it does not say that the Word became man. It said that the Word became flesh. So he did not surrender his deity to put on the veil of flesh. He entered into our flesh and lived as one of us and perfectly fulfilled the law, so that when he made his sacrifice for us, he was able to offer to us mercy based upon justice satisfied. So this man lived a perfect life, and he was fully man and fully God. We know that he was a human because he was incubated in the womb of his mother Mary. We know that he got tired. We know that he mourned the loss of his friend. He was human. But it was not intermixed. He was fully God and fully man. So when he made his sacrifice for us, it was complete. And I want to take you somewhere that a text that has a lot of teeth to it in Titus chapter 2. Because most of you would say to me, I've already opened that gift. He's offered now salvation, and I've already accepted that gift. I've unwrapped that gift, and it's mine. Well, let's look carefully together and be reminded together about something in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. How did the grace of God, or the unmerited grace or favor of God, appear? It appeared in the person of Christ. It appeared. It came on the scene. Here it is. He came to bring salvation for all people. But what does it do? It trains us. If we accept Christ as our Savior, our nature is changed. We're given a new nature. And then we go into a sanctification process, a process whereby we're being trained. It trains us, this grace, as we look into his word, as we pray, as we cooperate, as we desire to follow him. We're not just trying to get saved so that we can avoid hell. Jesus came to save us from sin, the power of sin, to break the power of sin and cause us to go on another course, a course in which we can become trained to be godly people. So this grace is training us, verse 12, Titus 2, to renounce, first of all, ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Why in the present age? Because he wants you to be a model. He wants you to be one who gathers those to him. Remember, we talked about he gathers, not scatters. If I'm not gathering you to godliness because I am refusing to be in God's training program, then I'm by default scattering you. You are either here sitting as a Christian gathering people to Christ by your conduct, or you are repelling people from Christ. Which is it? I'm preaching to me as well as you, but I ask myself, which is it, Jay? It depends on what day it is. Am I doing it well today? We need to inspect ourselves regularly on these things. Waiting, verse 13, for our blessed hope. What are we waiting for? He's coming back. Jesus is coming back again. Hurrah, hurrah. He's coming. You thought they were going to sing? I'm going to sing too. Hurrah, hurrah, the trumpet will sound and the clouds will part. Oh, how that day will thrill our hearts when the King of Glory descends to take us home. He's coming. We're looking for, so the power was there, the power of sin was broken, and we're looking for that time when the presence of sin is removed. No longer will I ever be tempted. When that blessed hope appears, when he comes back. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is to say that Jesus is God, the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was fully man and fully God. It is a conundrum. You can stay up all night for three nights in a row. You will never figure out how it is that he is fully God and fully man, so just don't try to figure it out. He's fully God and fully man. We're looking for God in the person of his Son to return, who gave himself for us to redeem us, buy us out of the slave market so that we would never be put up for sale again in the slave market. Slave what? Slave to what? Slave to sin. Redeem us from all lawlessness. And lawless sin is lawlessness. Really, sin is, I don't want anything or any restrictions on me. Remember we looked at Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the nations rage? They don't want restrictions. That's why they rage. Why do people take drugs so that they can free their minds, or drink alcohol so they can free their mind? Because they want to quiet down the voice of their conscience. They don't want any constriction. They don't want any obstacle. They don't want anybody to be the boss of them. Lawlessness, and to purify, that's what he's after in you and I, for himself, a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Now watch this, verse 15. You think that I'm just yelling and screaming because that's my personality, and it is. This is how I used to talk to my kids when they got out of line. But this verse here tells me how to say this. Declare these things. What things? The things we just talked about. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. This is not my authority. I'm giving you his, but I'm operating under his authority. I'm screaming at you right now because that's how he wants it said. He wants you to be godly. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to forsake the past. And he wants us to walk before him. Live as though his eye is in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Let no one disregard you. Let no one look at you and go, yeah, I don't want to be one of those, if that's what a Christian is. So Jesus came to save. But he didn't come to just save you. He didn't come to give you a fire insurance policy. He came to deliver you step by step as you walk in obedience before him from your sinful nature.
It's been good to be here with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good that we know why Jesus came and who he is. But people must know. We may know, but people must know. We are called to be his messengers and to share with others. I'm a human and a sinful man, and I don't do that very well sometimes. But people must know who he is and why he came. And I love this when we were singing the 12 days of Christmas, and it said, joy for my soul. I mean, he did that. He came for joy for our souls. And we need to let that spill out so that it spills out on others. Blessed are you, Lord, King of the universe. We just thank you for this glorious day and for the opportunity that we have to be your messengers, and that you have recorded for us in history all the things that we need to know about your story in this beautiful book that you have given to us, the Holy Scriptures. Lord, I just thank you that we have it, and that you stepped into time to be one of us, fully human but fully God at the same time. And we glorify, we're just amazed at that mystery that you have come to save us. Lord, and you've placed us in this present age. And that phrase is for every age. We have been placed in this present age, not to represent the age, but to represent you and represent you to others that must know. And as Mary, the Mother of God, said in her beautiful psalm, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And we are of the nations, and we have heard that word, and we are now to spread it to others. And let us end with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, forever. Amen.